Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves his people. When we're in heaven, after all this is done, when the Lord takes us forward, we're going to see things we never saw before. And we're going to have conversations with the redeemed, those that are redeemed, those that heard the Lord, those that we're going to hear testimonies of how God intricately rescued us out of the world. And every soul that go to heaven, they're going to be so glad that they're there. And everybody that used to be reluctant, the anointing broke the yokes, and they became receptive to what God had to say. God gave them repentance. They're going to be so glad that they're there. And those that have children, they are going to be extra happy. So, it's important that we do our job. It's important that we cling to the things of God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might. Because people are counting on us. I remember Pastor Jackson said one time that people are assigned to your life. There are people that God, he raised people up for people. In the kingdom of God, when people look out and see their relatives, cousins, sisters, brothers, parents, grandparents, they'll finally get to meet those great grandparents and great and their ancestors. And all these testimonies, you know, the Lord is doing. That's why when I say that the Lord is moving mightily by his Spirit, I'm looking at how he thinks. He know that if you go to heaven and your people don't go, it's going to break your heart. And that's going to happen too. There's going to be a lot of heartbreaks. Just like there's going to be a lot of joy. To the point that one scripture said that the Lord is going to wipe the tears out of our eyes. See, God got a, he's got a counter for everything. But I put it this way. If you want your people there, God really wants his people there. He wants every, he loves people more than we know how to. So, he know what they're capable of. And he's the one that's got to leave people here that go rogue, no matter who they are. And your children, my children are very precious to me, and I expect everybody's children to be precious to them. But they are God's children more than they are our children. You know, God made us, and he loves us. He knows all the wonderful capabilities that he put in them. He knows what will happen if people follow him. We take too many things lightly. You know, the Lord took time to show us in Genesis chapter 1. Everything bears fruit after its type. And so what happens is people take this life too lightly. The Lord showed me in a vision how prosperity comes. And he was teaching me about sowing and reaping in that during that time. And he taught me for 3 days straight about spiritual wealth and spiritual debt on a person's life. All the intricate things that the way we do it, how it affects everything. But the vision part, everything starts with what we do. What did we choose to act on? It shapes our children. It shapes the way we see things. And the Lord just revealed to me that the will is formed from our choices. So, what you put in motion, it stays in motion. It gets in your children's makeup. God told in, what was it, Genesis 17 or 18, the Lord told Abraham to be perfect because of this. This time next year, you're going to have a son. See, it's all throughout the word. People just hadn't taken hold of it. So, here it is. When God does something, he there's an order to everything God does. And it says in chapter 17, verse 1, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. You see that? And I will make a covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now he's talking to a man that didn't, at this point, he struggled with whether he could have children or not. He said, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, which means father, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make many, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee a land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant which ye shall keep between you, between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. See, what you put in motion, you know, if Abraham decided not to be perfect before the Lord, then it would have affected the outcome of his children, and it would have been the imperfections would have been in the children. But God, Abraham walked before the Lord perfectly. His heart was perfect toward the Lord because he wanted that to be in place before Isaac was born. Because God can't change what you decide to do. What you put in motion in the vision he showed me, we write our own ticket by our choices. If we decide to be slick, you're going to see little slick children in the future. If we decide to be wise, then God will honor that. He has something more to work with. Wisdom will be in your children. Now remember, it takes two to make a child. So hopefully, when you choose a spouse, you want them to be wise, people that follow through, people that make good decisions, people that love God. And loving God is first. But see, actions, the way people live, reflects their love for God. The way you love man is the way you love God. So when you have kindness and wisdom, you're reluctant to be foolish and selfish. But people who are, one spouse loves the Lord and they're generous, the other one is selfish. Well, you'll see both traits in the children. One will keep covenant when the other one don't, or they'll be double-minded. Unless they receive the word for themselves. Because God told Abraham to leave his nation, his kindred, and his father's house. And I explained in other broadcasts that this applies to his children too. Spiritually, we don't just leave our parents, you know. But spiritually, you got to look to the Lord from which comes your help. You can't stick to the wrong things that people do, no matter who they are. We adapt. We adapt and we learn from the Holy Spirit how to relate, how to make better decisions, how to receive from the Lord and operate in His wisdom only and not foolishness. Because whatever people allow in their lives, sometimes people, we receive it as soup. You know, when you eat soup, it's a combination of all kind of foods, vegetables, beans, meat, whatever. And so people receive a message. If the heart of a man, if a pastor, whatever he receives is truth and believes and preaches as truth, people eat it up as soup. But the word of God, if you're a stickler to the word of God, I'll put it this way. As God give you revelation, stick with the revelation. When people deviate, don't go backwards, no matter who it is. At that point, side with Jesus. Now, this morning when I woke up, I was thinking about reluctance. Yesterday's broadcast was called Rejectable Things. There are things we need to reject. And when I did that broadcast, the anointing was on me heavy. And that's one of, you know, I didn't, some broadcasts, the Lord, the anointing just, it's just on me heavy. Before that, the Lord had me talking about your kingdom abilities. And in that broadcast, this was on June the 27th, on Tuesday, June 27th, 2022. And then yesterday's broadcast was June the 20th, I'm sorry, yesterday's broadcast was June 29th. And your kingdom abilities was June the 28th on Tuesday. And on June the 29th is rejectable things. If you could see my handwriting, you'll see why I just did that. But anyway, rejectable things. The previous broadcast, your kingdom abilities, you know, I talked about how the enemy tried to hijack the world through first science and religion. And then that formed the education system that formed out of the dark ages that had a background from the beginning. The enemy gave people lies. See, the dark ages, the reason I went to the dark ages is because when Christ came and the church became strong, they saw light and it exposed all the lies of all religions and all false science and everything, and God was on the throne. So men went dark. So I trace it back to that point. It's kind of like tracing our humanity back to Noah. Because before the flood, things were much different. So the dark ages, you know, that was a negative reset, so to speak. And they thought that they had won. They thought they extinguished the light. Now they can just freely kill and do whatever they plunder and do whatever they want. Because when kings wanted to take over, they didn't need a Christ-like religion. They needed a religion that would honor the death, blood, and guts that they wanted to do. And the education system wasn't strong. Only the rich people taught their children in a formal education setting. And only the boys, not women. As far as I know, but humanity was pretty rough. But in the that darkness, there's a lot of things that survived it. A lot of dark things continued. I put it that way, and it shapes the thought. Once people's thoughts are shaped, then they don't really seek. That's why Jesus says seek. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. You get answers. Because you have to break through the veil of darkness. And it's there. It was always there. And now, today's broadcast, I want to show you why reluctance exists in God's people. I have wondered why people are not aggressive about hearing a good, fresh word from God. That's full of anointing and resurrection life. The word of God brings life to everything. And the more things you know of him, the easier you can be guided by him. Every child of God don't listen to the Holy Spirit because their thoughts were shaped and their opinions were formed by the world system. That's where reluctance comes from. In a Sunday school class, I said, if God ever wants you to do something and you struggle to do it because you feel reluctant, seek out why you are reluctant. Or why would you, just consider, why am I reluctant now? And just think about it. Why am I reluctant? Why should I be reluctant? What wisdom is in reluctance? If, you know, yesterday I heard a word from a couple that I went to church with. They went to a Victory Christian Fellowship. Now they have a church, Your Identity Church in Alabaster. Beautiful work. I listened to Pastor Dusty, and it was a beautiful message about love. And it coincided with what my pastor taught, Pastor Jim. Now they grew up together. He was on the praise team. He and his wife Heather. And I listened to Heather preach, and it was wonderful. That was some good teaching. I told my wife, I said, "You need this is a good good word. She's got a word right here." And my wife listened to it. Now I had the speaker playing while I was working, and my wife could hear it because I had my Bluetooth speaker going. Now, I said that to say this: when you can't be at a ministry, and you know they got a word, and they put it on the web, why not take time and listen to it? Why not invest in your own heart? Because the faster you get it, the faster you get revelation, then the more equipped you are to cooperate with the Lord, overcome the world, receive what God is desperately trying to give you in the first place, and it will affect your children and their generation, especially when you're sincere. Now, I know of many wonderful men and women of God, and there's so much out there. I talk about Henry Gruber a lot. I love his ministry. He went on to be with the Lord in 2020. And I love his ministry. And he went on to be with the Lord in 2019. But I love his ministry. And I love his, I love Steve Quayle, Kenneth Copeland, many others. It's so many. Bill Winston. And they have a word. And sometimes, you know, as the Lord is dealing with me, and I keep my TV virtually on the Victory Channel, I'm walking through the room, I'm hearing what something the Lord gave me in my heart. See, the Lord, the anointing coincides. One time I had a message, I was going to Pastor Jackson's church, and I was teaching Sunday school, and then God gave me a Sunday school lesson called Operatives. And I showed how when you do something God tell you to do, then he did it for a reason. When people hear it, he's going to use somebody else that they don't know to say the same thing. And preachers don't have to know each other. All right? And we preach what God gives us. And they'll preach what God gave them. But the message is identical. Now, everybody that God uses to get people saved, they're on a mission to get people saved. And they're called operatives. They're operating. They're doing their part in this great plan of God. So when somebody decides, well, I'm not good enough, I'm disqualified, where did that lie come from? Reluctance, it comes from the accuser. You can always trace it back to the accuser or people that agree with him. Some people are raised in doubt and unbelief. The parents doubt their children. You'll never be. I'll never tell my child something like that. That's crazy. When you love God, you can do all things through Christ. Guess what? Who strengthens you? And that's our heritage. Now, when you want what's right, everybody that wants what's right because it's right, everybody that has that desire, they are attracting the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has, he's watching, he's looking for people whose heart is towards him. They might be a sinner at the time, but see, people who sin, they get tired of it. Sin is a wearisome thing. I don't care what kind of sin it is. There's no life in it. It's fantasy. It looks like you're going to be all right, and you're going to be all right. That's a lie. That's bait. It's fantasy. So when people buy into the world for whatever reason, it starts to spoil their life. And people get tired of it. They can't figure it out. See, when you're in the world, you can't find the exit door. You're out there trapped until you see more light. But when the light comes, you got to go to it. The light is out there. It's just like in every country, God's got men and women that love him. And they're preaching the life that'll cause you to live forever and ever in the kingdom of God. But the enemy downplays the churches that love God. And in place of it, the devil will help raise up a lukewarm church, a compromised church, a church that'll bend with the wind. A fearful church. He'll help raise those up. And because people pay tithes, he'll put pressure on people. The devil will put pressure on people to pay tithes to a raggedy, lukewarm church to starve out the true churches. It's strategy. But when you find somebody with the revelation knowledge of God, speaking from the heart, and you don't value it, where does that reluctance come from? You know they got a word. You have a sample of what they said. If you don't incorporate it into your life on purpose, and you can. You know. This kind of reluctance does a lot of damage throughout the body of Christ. There's so much waste. Some people are too proud to listen to somebody else. They're looking at the person. Now, I don't agree with doing that. You have to look at the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit can only rest on holy people. People that love him. People that are sincere. Do you know how rare it is to find a person with that kind of sincerity that God can rest upon? They are out there. It's more than it used to be. But Solomon put it this way. For every 1,000 men, there's one that'll serve God. And then he said, among women, I haven't found that. That was back in his day. But I have found women that will love and follow God. I'm not like Solomon. I know of women that love and follow God. And they seek to do it God's way. And I thank God for it. See, when Christ came, he changed a lot of things. In Solomon's world, if you was a woman, you probably couldn't read or write. You probably didn't have much of a voice. It was probably animosity, jealousy. Men had so many wives that you were just one of the numbers. But when people are free, in Jesus. They matter to God. And when you have a revelation of what Jesus did in your life, it's over the top. Now I saw something in Genesis 17 again. Listen to what God told Abraham. And I meant to point this out, but I'm going to point it out now right before I continue to Isaiah. And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And now watch this. And will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, this is something Abraham desired. But sometimes when God shows you a lot at once, it can be challenging to believe. Why? Because you were shaped by this world. That's rare, and it never happens to nobody. But Abraham had, the Lord set the pace for him in chapter 12. Leave your kindred, your country, your kindred, and your father's house. He's also leaving idolatry, all kind of worldly thoughts, opinions, but also he's leaving restrictions, and he's leaving limitations behind him. He's going on to see what God has to say. Now, when you do that, you're doing the same thing. You don't share their restrictions and limitations. That Satan wanted. Satan didn't make nobody. He's the accuser. He's the enemy of God. He's trying to restrict us. Why? Because we're made in God's image. And that has been too much forgotten. Even though people say we're made in his image. Yeah, they say it in the light of the world. We're made in his image, but we can't do nothing. No. When you're corrected by the blood of Jesus and you live by the love of God, there are no limits. And you just, this is something we all must get used to. And I'm saying this for a reason. God said, I will make my covenant with thee, between me and thee. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, all Abraham, he just wanted a child, a son, somebody to leave his possession to. He tried to leave it to his servant born in his house, Eliezer. No. God said, no, you're going to have a son. Okay, continuing, chapter 4. Verse 3. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. You're talking about astonished. Abraham had to be astonished. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Whoa. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in thy generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. See, when he multiplied to a certain point, a certain group of people would need a king to govern them. So, and he said, kings will be made after thee. Now, the reason I pointed that out is because God thinks big, folks. When God tell me big things like this, he's done it before. I look at everything he's doing. And I remember I shared a word with my pastor. I can't remember how it was word for word, but he said, the Lord was saying, there are no limitations. I think he was one of the first people I gave a word like that to. There are no limits. Don't think big. There are no limitations. We set the limitations. He said it too. But listen, this is how God is. If you're going to follow him, this is what you're going to find him doing. He'll prepare you and train you to do great. And it, the work that you do will be great. And it doesn't matter how rich, how many resources you have. God is not limited by that. He can take a man, give him an anointing, and put him on YouTube and change the world. So don't disqualify what God can do through you. He said, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. Verse 8. And all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, he continued, but I just wanted to point out the multiplication of what God is doing. Now, back to Isaiah. God loves his people. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. On each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he did fly. I know the word twain is there, but I just changed it to two for reference reasons. Verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah desired repentance in verse 5. And immediately then, verse 6 says, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, now he's ready. He's receptive. He's corrected.